Crunch Time!
Crunch Time!
You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch Time!
Crunch Time!
All right, welcome to Crunch Time. This is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bull as we break down the Kansas City Chiefs, and the first quarter of the season is done. The Chiefs are 4-0. You couldn't ask for anything more than that. Patrick Mahomes looking, well, pretty good. Well, no, hold on. Let me looking good. But, you know, maybe just a bit off last week, but he's not perfect, and we all know that. But, gosh, what a great guy to have on our team. Frank, yeah. We are at CBD American Shaman like we always are on Wednesday nights. And where are we today, Frank? Give everybody the address so they could come in here, hang out with us, get 30% off, grab a T-shirt, hang out with Frank and Grunny, get some great products from CBD American Shaman, feel good about themselves, feel good with their body and pain and all kinds of different things that CBD will help for 30% off. Where are we?
And don't forget, it's always CBD American Shaman. It's the only stuff you want to get.
That's it.
The only company you want to buy
That's
from.
All.
They're third-party tested, so they are not doing it themselves. They're sending it out to a third party to make sure you get the best products possible. And we at Crunch Time are at CBD American Shaman at 19321 East 40 Highway, Independence, Missouri. That's East 40 Highway in Independence. Just put down CBD American Shaman. It'll bring you right here to our spot, and it's great.
Right here, and we got all kinds of great people here to help you out to give you some great information on the great CBD products that American Shaman have. And Frank,
30% off.
Boy.
Can't beat that, pal.
All right, let's take a deep breath. We have a quarter of the season done. The Chiefs are 4-0. You can't ask for anything better than that. Listen, there are some warts, okay? The defense is struggling against the run. They're struggling
really?
In the zone in the pass game. I think the front four has kind of lived up to expectations. Chris Jones is playing well. Akbar is playing well. Clark is starting to flash a little bit.
Jury's out a little bit still on Frank Clark, but we'll see.
Starting to flash a little bit, but, you know, let's hope that this is a second-half guy. So the front four is playing okay. The linebackers, they're struggling in the run game big time. And, you know, they're losing the tight end in the pass game. And, the zone. Stafford just did an unbelievable job of picking apart the zone, and the communication just isn't quite there from the corners and the safeties. I mean, I was watching the game again today, Frank, as I was flying in from South Bend, Indiana. I put the game on my pad here and iPad here and watched the game again. And, you know, it's just amazing to me. And I don't know if this is the way it's planned out. I don't know if this is the way they want to do it, but you know, there's guys that are in the slot. And who is that slot receiver? Like Galloway or Galladay or what?
Galladay.
Burn us every day.
Galladay.
Galladay is being passed off. The safety is on him in the slot. He's running up the field, and the safety decides to go and jump the hitch, and they're making the corner run over to cover the guy in the slot. Does that make a lot of sense?
Not to me. It doesn't. And the other thing, even when everybody's in position to make a play, they don't make a play. Even if they're in a position to make a tackle, they miss the tackle, or the guy runs right through them. They're in a position to make a play on a pass. Charvarius Ward has his back turned to the quarterback. The guy jumps up over him because Charvarius is so short and catches the ball, and everybody is trashing Charvarius Ward. I'm going to tell you something. Kendall Fuller's worse.
Just as bad.
They have a perfect passing rating when they throw it to his side. Perfect.
Frank, do you realize that there were two or three calls in that game if they went the other way, including
the game was over.
Including the I guess the ball was moving, and I was listening to the radio guys.
An incomplete pass.
The radio guys were talking that, you know, that maybe his foot was on the other foot, and if foot wasn't down, his feet were down, and the ball was moving. Yeah, it was an incomplete pass, but it was so close. Right. It was called a touchdown so many times, they'll say the ruling stands. So right there, and then, you know, and then Stafford fumbles the ball going into the end zone, and then we have a 100-yard
return on return. A thing that everybody out there – Except for Rashard Breeland and the Tyrann Mathieu, too, because I think Breeland was thinking about, I don't want to run 100 yards with this ball. And Tyrann Mathieu go, run.
Run, we just keep running.
Just keep running. And everybody sort of jumped up and got out of his way when he picked up the ball. Nobody was going to tackle the guy, so he picked. That was a great instinct on his part to keep on going, too. So that was that, and, you know, just a couple plays. And, I mean, that game could have shifted in a heartbeat. They could have lost that football game.
I have a lot to talk about. I got a lot to talk about, the good and the bad and the ugly, which we'll get to in a little bit. But including the Chiefs. Hey, listen, the recipe for slowing Patrick Mahomes is out there. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. But, Frank, a couple plays didn't go our way, a couple plays didn't go Detroit's way. The Kansas City Chiefs win. That's what winners do. That's what winners do.
That's right, absolutely. That's what Super Bowl teams do. They win these games. They do not lose these games. And if they would have lost that game, it's an NFC team, everybody would have been tremendously disappointed. But it probably wouldn't have put that big of a chink in their plans to get the AFC Championship game and host the game. Now you're 4-0. You've got the Colts staggering in here, who just lost to the Oakland Raiders. Yeah. Okay, they're staggered. You know, at home they lost to the Oakland Raiders. They stagger in here. They're still trying to recover from the Andrew Luck not being here. But Jacoby Brissett is playing great.
He is.
He is a 100 quarterback rating. He's doing great.
He's the only quarterback in the league right now who has 2 touchdown passes in every game this year.
There you go.
So he is a guy that, you know, has been playing well. Ibram, who is their tight end, has had a great year thus far too. And then, of course, they have their wide receiver that just tears everybody apart. It doesn't matter who. But, the Chiefs have struggled against tight ends. And even this week with the young kid from Iowa who came in as a Kansas City kid, grew up in the kingdom here.
Great player.
Had an unbelievable game against the Chiefs. But
don't hurdle.
Oh, man.
Whatever you do, don't hurdle.
Don't hurdle.
Quit hurdling.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah, anybody in the league. Travis Kelce, don't hurdle.
Don't hurdle. You're exactly right. I've seen so many guys in the years that I've played who hurdled people and came down and landed wrong on their knee and blew
a
knee out or
whatever,
you know, or landed on their head. It's just not a good idea to hurdle. You're exactly right. But Frank, so let's get to our favorite segment, my favorite segment that we have every week, and that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, Frank, so let's talk a little bit about the good. Listen, the finish of the play from the defensive backs, and you mentioned how Breland told him, hey, just keep on running, just keep on running.
Tyrann Mathieu
Matthews told Breland to keep on running.
Just keep running, right. That's a smart, heady play by a veteran player.
Yeah, it's like so Matthews saying keep on running. So, listen, Breland finishes the play, 100-yard fumble recovery. Listen, also good for the officials. Now, remember this. And this is part of the good. The NFL addressed blowing the whistle quickly, and it was this group, Frank.
Yes.
These referees that blew the call earlier this year with the Saints and the Rams, and they blew the whistle, and the Saints returned one for a touchdown. And once again, the Saints are just snake bit all the time. They seem to have all these things going against them to affect games. But good for the officials for remembering that not to blow the whistle. It's a point of emphasis since the Rams and the Saints game. They corrected that, which was a good thing for the Chiefs. Now, Frank, I am wondering if that wasn't the exact crew, would they have blown the whistle? You know, because this crew was reprimanded and this crew was told, listen, you better get this right. Mm-hmm. And that crew looked at each other and those whistles fell out of their mouths. They did not blow that whistle.
And really, they could have, because really, when Breland goes there, he goes in on his knees. He goes down on all fours to pull that ball there. And you just wonder, did he touch anybody? Mm-hmm. You know, did he touch anybody from Detroit? Was there anybody in there from Detroit? And he pulled that ball there. He obviously knew he hadn't been touched because he grabbed it and got up and started to take off. So.
And once again, with the good, I think the referees decided, hey, listen, if we can go back and look at this and call it dead at the spot, it's better than blowing the whistle quickly and taking the game away from the player. So that's the good. Also, going with this finishing, the Kansas City Chiefs have been able to finish with scoring drives in 2-minute situations a bunch this year, going into half situation and at the end of game situation. And once again, finishing, and we'll play some sound maybe a little bit later of Patrick Mahomes talking to his team about you know, finishing and believing and doing all those kind of things. And that's part of this kind of the good, the finishing that play and also finishing the game. Congratulations to Patrick Mahomes on a game-winning drive. Those are not easy to do.
That scramble is terrific. Yeah. You know, where he made the first down. I mean, that was it. That was it. I mean, there were other plays in the game as well, but that was it.
That was the play.
That was it.
Yeah, and so let's go to the bad. The Chiefs play on offense versus the Patriots scheme. The tight coverage with physical bump and run with the receivers. Travis Kelce was being bumped and run. The wide receivers were being bumped and run. This is the Patriot way. This is how they've slowed the Chiefs down over the years. And Patricia absolutely took a page from the Patriots. The only thing that was a little bit different that I thought Patricia did, and maybe the Pats do this a little bit too, is they took a safety and they pretty much put him at 20, 25 yards and said, do not let anybody get past you. Right. Do not get beat deep. So, you know, if you look at the bad here, you know, it leaves the Patriots and it leaves, in this game, the Lions, it leaves you vulnerable for underneath plays, but it takes away the big strike. And the more plays that you have in a drive, the more chances to make a mistake. And I think what the people are going to try to do against the Chiefs is they're going to say, listen, we're not going to give you those 5 and 4 and 5 and 6 play drives with a big play for a touchdown. We want to make you have a 8 to 10 to 12 play drive, and then something happens. It was a fumble or a hold or a, you know, some sort of penalty will slow you down. And I think that that's what teams are going to do. And really, the other thing that they did with this defense, they dropped nine at times, but more like 8, where they only had a 3-man rush and they got pressure on the Chiefs with a 3-man rush, and you just can't do that. So, you know, this whole Patriot way of slowing the Chiefs down, it hurt the Chiefs. I think it made Patrick Mahomes, especially in the first half, look very vulnerable and look very pedestrian. And teams are going to look at this, and this is going to be the serum, and this is going to be the way the teams attack the Kansas City Chiefs, where they're going to drop 8 and rush 3. You got to protect. They're going to flood the zone. They're going to keep people deep. They're going to jam receivers. And they're going to give you those mesh patterns. They're going to give you those crossing patterns. They're going to give you those little hitches and figure, listen, we got to go out and tackle. And they did a pretty good job of tackling, too. We got to go out and tackle and make you run between 8 and 12 plays instead of having those 3, 4, 5 play drives. So the bad is that the Chiefs have been exposed a little bit, and they're going to have to adjust. The ugly is really the turnovers. And I'm in parentheses put the kicking game. Dave Tobe was not a happy man after that game. I know Dave very, very well. I thought the kicking game was poor. First, you had a fumble. But don't forget, you also had Pringle, who took the ball out 7 yards in the end zone to the 15-yard line. When, you know, you can take the ball out to the 25-yard line and you have some room to work, that wasn't a very good decision. And then you had in the third quarter just way too many fumbles, way too many balls on the ground. And, you know, and Hardman kind of fed into that with the opening kickoff of the half, the second half of the fumble. Not a good thing. And then McCoy fumbles. And so, listen, ball security and kicking game, they've got to get that straightened out.
Yeah, you got it. And for me, it always goes back to defense. Right now, Chiefs defense is not good. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, it's 43% of opponents' drives are ending in scores. They are so far down the list in the NFL on that thing. That is not good, because now you're just exchanging scores. You leave yourself wide open and vulnerable to get your butt beat. And like I said, Charvarius Ward hasn't been good. Okay, number one, he's short. Number two, none of them seem to do any stretching exercise of any kind, because they can't get their necks turned around on the top of their bodies, turn around and look at a quarterback. Kendall Fuller, they have a perfect passing grade. Every time they throw a ball Kendall Fuller's side, basically it's completion. And that, I mean, you can't do that anymore. Now, Mo Claiborne's coming back. He's going to be available this week.
Yep.
We don't know where he is physically. He's been working out and doing all those things, but he will be available this week. That'll certainly help with depth. Maybe they can do some different things back there on the defense with Mo Claiborne in there and try to figure something out, because their defensive secondary isn't good. Linebackers can't run. Nobody on that team can tackle. The running game, the people are running all over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
They're running all over the Chiefs. And if you want a formula to lose a game, you let a team just run the ball on you and play that the game clock against you, and you're going to be that's a recipe to get beat. Now this week, we've had Damian Williams is back at practice. Tyreek Hill is back at practice as well, so they're both back there. But Eric Fisher is still out, would not practice today, and Dorian O'Daniel is not out there either. But I'm just trying to tell you got to get this stuff squared away on defense somehow, some way. I was giving him You know, a little. They were getting a little bit better for the first 3 weeks. Each week they got a little better. This week they slid all the way back down to bottom of the list again.
Yeah, so I agree with you.
And they reverted back to who they were.
Yeah, and here's what the Chiefs are going to contend with. If you just look at what teams have been doing against them in this first quarter of the season, listen, the Chiefs are 4-0, okay? I mean, that's great.
Exactly.
But there are some things that you have to address. Number one is the teams are going to take big shots. They're going to look for home runs against the Chiefs because, A, it's a kind of a new defense, and their communication at the zone coverage isn't very good. So they're going to take shots because they realize they have to score. The Kansas City Chiefs, usually their offense is clicking on all cylinders, and you have to hit that home run if you're on the other team, and you've got to go for it on fourth down like Baltimore did, and it's going to come back and bite you if you don't convert, but teams are going to take those chances, and once in a while they're going to convert, and they're going to keep drives going. Also, teams are going to run the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs. Guys are getting up on the second level cleanly. Defensive linemen are getting turned at the point of attack, and they're running the ball very, very efficiently against the Chiefs. So defensively, here's what they're doing. They're saying, listen, we're going to take our shots. We're going to throw the ball down the field, and we're going to go for it. We're going to try to extend drives on fourth down, and we're going to run the ball because we feel the pressure that we have to score every time we're playing against Patrick Mahomes. Okay, so that's what the offenses are doing. Now, if you look at the defensive coordinators, what they're saying is, listen, we have to get up, and we have to be physical with the wide receivers, and we've got to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, whether it's from 3, 4, 5, or 6. They would like to do it with 3 and 4, and they did it last week with 3 and 4, Frank, which was very concerning.
Yeah.
Because they were able to drop 7 and 8 guys back and just, you know, play some cover 3. It looked like cover 3, man. It was a kind of a cover 2, but the safety would shoot way back. And he would – so it looked almost like a cover, which this is – you don't usually do that, but cover 3 under man. And they just manned everything up. That's why those crossing patterns and those mesh patterns were working because, you know, when you're in man, you can have some traffic issues. You can have some problems with crossing patterns. You can outrun a guy. But you're never going to beat anybody deep when they're doing that. And that's what teams are saying. Listen, we are not going to let Patrick Mahomes have a 3-play drive from the 15-yard line for a touchdown. We're not going to let that happen.
Right.
And that's what NFL is. And the other thing is the Chiefs have got to get more consistent in their special teams also. You can't miss an extra point. Like they did a couple weeks ago. You can't miss a field goal. You know, you can't take the ball out.
Harrison Butker is very reliable normally. But you just can't have a mental lapse one where you can't relax. There's just no way.
And you got to settle on a returner. You know, Pringle taking it out of the end zone, Hardman fumbling the ball. So it looks like they're out of sorts in the return game. You know, their coverage game's been okay. They don't punt very much, so you don't really see that. And the kickoffs, you know, he kicks out of the end zone.
Yeah. So it's always a touchback for him, basically.
But the returns have been very poor. And anytime Hardman's back there, you're afraid if he can catch the ball on a punt or he's going to fumble a ball on a return, Pringle making bad decisions. You know, and then they put Anthony back. Was it Anthony? They put him back there. He struggled back there, too. So they've got to come up with a solid special teams returner and get that going, too. So the Chiefs, they're 4-0, and we're all happy. But there are some things, there are some cracks in this team that need to be mended.
Yeah, right. I think, too, the improvisation is great. If you're the quarterback, he can improvise, and he does. He and Andy Reid both. He can do it on the run while he's back there, you know, running around and looking for somebody. If the pocket breaks down, he knows what he's doing back there. As far as Travis Kelce and the old hook and ladder, all right, if you go back and look at that play, you watch how close that was to getting either knocked down to the ground.
Which was a fumble.
They swatted right at the ball and just missed that ball. They just missed it before McCoy got the ball. I mean, it was inches away from being a disaster. And just, you know, if you're going to catch the ball, catch the ball. I don't want to see a whole lot of that.
No.
As far as quarterback's concerned, it's great, wonderful, terrific. He does a great job at it. If you're somebody else on the team, that could have been a total disaster.
Frank, that game, I think you hit it right on the head. It was inches away from disaster a bunch of different times.
A lot of times, yeah.
You know, with different calls, different penalties. You know, Chiefs got away with some penalties in key situations where they were going to be off the field, and all of a sudden a penalty kept them alive. And then there were times when the Chiefs, you know, had some silly penalties. I think one time Chris Jones had a sack, and the linebacker's holding a wide receiver, like, in the play's just about over. Doesn't make any sense. He's holding the guy. And then, you know, and then you have the special teams and mistakes and the fumbles and all those mistakes. And, you know, you can't have those things. You're right. Inches away from disaster is exactly the way you break down that game. And that's exactly what it was.
And here's the deal. We're talking about a team is 4-0. Yeah, one of three undefeated teams in the NFL. But here's the deal. And I know people out there scream, what do you mean the team's undefeated? That is the expectation. That's the issue with this football team. The expectation is every game they're going to win by 25, 30 points. That just isn't going to happen in this league. You can see teams are starting to figure some things out. They're starting to look at what Matt Patricia did. They look what Bill Belichick did last year in the AFC title game. They're checking those. Everybody's trying everything in the world to try to get this team stopped. And now you're going to add Tyreek Hill back into the offensive mix. So it's even going to be tougher for you now to go and do that. I mean, the Chiefs are like an 11-point favorite at home this week. I mean, it's not that often you're a double-digit, a favorite in NFL football games. It's a big deal. So there's high expectations for this team. We expect them to take the next step. That's to get to the Super Bowl. And obviously, if they get there, we certainly are going to expect them to win that game. So it's just they're 4-0. They can go 5-0 for the third straight year and the third consecutive year. And we're just looking at, you're looking at 14-2. For all practical purposes, and it may take 14-2 because, New England's schedule is
their defense is unbelievable,
and their defense is terrific. Yeah,
it is. So that's a really good team,
yeah.
Frank.
Yeah. So we'll worry about them in December.
But I do want to bring up and real quick, it just once again because I just got done watching this, and I purposely watched the way that Patricia and the defense addressed Mahomes and. When you talk about, you go up there and you play physical and you play man. But the other thing that because they were able to drop eight, they also had two linebackers that were kind of sitting in that little hook to flat area. And any time Patrick Mahomes broke outside of the pocket, they beelined right at him. And they made him feel uncomfortable. And any time that Patrick Mahomes has to throw the ball, and he's a gunslinger. He's going to try to make some plays. And he throws the ball off his back foot when he doesn't want to throw it off his back foot, when he's under pressure, that's not a very pretty ball. So those are the kind of things the Chiefs are going to have to look at. Their offensive line is going to have to play better. They're going to have to run the ball better. Patrick Mahomes is, he's going to have to get rid of the ball timely because, you're not always going to have these big plays down the field.
This time he's been a little bit off, but that's the defense is doing that to him.
And then we talked about the Chiefs defense. I mean, they're giving up big plays in the run. There's no communication in the zone. And the linebackers are slow to get to the spots where they need to get to, especially with the tight end. That's why the Ebram guy coming in. Brissett loves to throw the ball to the tight end because he's going to go for his first read, then he's going to look for the tight end, or he's going to look for Mack out of the backfield, and those things hurt the Chiefs. So, the Chiefs are going to win the game. All right, they're going to win the game, but it might not be as pretty as we all expect, and that's the thing we need to realize that if W is a W is a W. Okay, right. I want it to be really pretty, and so do you. But this is the NFL, and they're going to ugly it up. They're going to muddy it up. They're going to try and make it difficult for the Chiefs. And there's a lot of smart guys over there, and I said this earlier in the season, that are going to catch up. Now the Chiefs have to do something different. It's time to go to a different package. I would not be surprised if you see a little RPO this week from the Chiefs, run-pass option, even though they have been able to run the ball very consistently. At least maybe you'll get the linebackers to step up a little bit.
Right, and you talk about a guy that is really into the football game. Okay, and Patrick Mahomes and where he is mentally compared to virtually anybody else in the world that we know of lately. When he turned and looked at the referee, the classic deal where he's rolling out to the right and he looks back at the referee. He talked about it today.
Because I didn't hear that.
He talked about the fact, I looked at the referee and I wanted to know if they're going to throw a flag because when you get out on a play like that, this is him thinking on the run in the middle of a pro football game. When you get out on a play like that, after it takes so much time, you think one of the offensive linemen might have been holding. I was looking back at the referee, see if he was going to throw a flag, and he just didn't do anything. So I turned it upfield. If I thought he had thrown a flag, I would have run for the first down or try to get first down yardage, even though maybe there was a flag for him. But I wasn't going to take off 25 yards downfield and try to run because I didn't want to get that tired, go back to huddle, call next play. I mean, imagine doing all that like this, just in the spur of the moment like that where his brain is.
Saran made a really good point. I forget who he was talking to, which guest, and the guest concurred with the thoughts that Saran had that he's special. He can break down in his mind things a lot faster than other people can. It's just some people could do it, some people can't. things slow down. All right, guys, we are at CBD American Shaman right here in Independence. Frank, the address is
19321 East 40 Highway. While we're here till 7 o'clock. Come on down. You get 30% off everything right here in Independence. 19321 East 40 Highway. We're going to have big news for you coming up. We're not going to tell you what that is. I'm not going to tell you in this show, but it's coming up about CBD American Shaman. So always stay with us. Always stay with Timmy and I and CBD and you on Sunday mornings presented by CBD American Shaman. Don't forget to tune in. We're going to have some stuff coming up for you. You're really going to love. So we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in just a minute with more on
Crunch Time.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. Frank Bull, Tim Grunhard out here in Independence. Remember, join us before we close down here at 7 o'clock. We're at 19321 East 40 Highway in Independence at CBD American Shaman. 30% off everything in the store until 7 o'clock, and then T-shirts. We have some T-shirts left here, so come on out and join us. And we're going to be talking football. I'm going to bring in the one and only Nate Taylor from The Athletic, the happiest guy in Kansas City sports media. Nate, how are you?
I appreciate that. I'm doing well. How are you?
You are. You're always in a good mood. I've never seen you in a bad mood. Of course, the Chiefs are 4-0, so that might have a little to do with it, right?
Yeah, of course. Work's not too hard when the team's winning and they are comfortable talking to you on a daily basis.
Yeah, right. And before we go any further, tell Holly thank you for letting me bother you for a few minutes here tonight. So, okay, that is so funny when you text me back. I'll check with Holly and see if she'll let me talk to you tonight.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's between Holly and my son Hayden, who's 4 now, it's always like, you know, I never want to surprise him with a, hey, I got to do radio at like 6:30, you know, like in the middle of dinner. So,
right.
Thankfully you gave me enough heads up and she gave the go ahead.
Yeah, well, the deal is, too, I know how tough this is because obviously I've been in business a long time. You have a family and you get any kind of time together, especially when you're in season. And for you, that is right now, all the way through February for all practical purposes. And then, you know, you head to the draft. There's really not much of a downtime at all. But any of those moments are precious to have, and I know that and I respect that. So we appreciate you joining us here tonight.
Yeah, of course, and it's always good to chat with you guys. So, yeah, whenever it works out on my end, I'll be definitely happy to help you guys. And look, the team's doing well, and it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I know they're doing well. They're 4-0. We still have a tendency to find things to complain about. I'm not sure what about. I think some of it's really nitpicking. I think everybody going into this season just thought with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, every game was going to be 40-10 at least, okay? Nobody was going to get close to him. The only game he had to worry about was New England, and that is not the case in the National Football League.
No, it's not. And look, the Detroit Lions did some things that I thought were really interesting on Sunday, particularly when it comes to the Chiefs offense. They dropped 8 guys in coverage a lot of the time, so it was something that the Chiefs had not really seen all season. And part of that is because, hey, you want to tighten the passing windows for Mahomes. But it's also, too, you know that as of right now, the team doesn't have Tyreek Hill, who can obviously run by all 8 defenders if necessary. So it's important today that at least Tyreek Hill was a limited participant in practice. It's the first time he's practiced since suffering his shoulder injury in the season opener against the Jaguars. But it does seem like nitpicky because they're still one of the top teams in scoring in the NFL. They still scored 34 points in a win, a comeback win against the Lions. But even I am writing today in The Athletic, the sort of the issues they're having in the first quarter on offense, the fact that you're seeing new things each week between the Lions, the Ravens, and the Raiders, the idea that they've gotten these, you know, 10-0 deficits that they've had to come back from. There's still some issues that the offense has, but by and large, with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's play-calling ability, they've done really well through the first quarter of the season.
We're talking with Nate Taylor from The Athletic. And, Nate, let me ask you this. Did you see shades of the New England Patriots with Matt Patricia putting that defense together? Or was it different than what the New England Patriots tried to do to them last year in the AFC Championship game? Or did it look very similar to what the Patriots did?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think there are a lot of similarities as to what we saw back in January last year with the Patriots, where obviously Matt Patricia came from, the head coach of the Lions. and what we saw Sunday. The one difference, of course, is that obviously Tyreek Hill didn't play, so you didn't have to necessarily worry about his speed and the, you know, sort of throwing it over the top. Now, what the Lions did that was very similar to what the Patriots did last year was they just tried to beat up Travis Kelce in that sort of five-yard range, which meant that there was usually two defenders on Travis Kelce wherever he lined up for the majority of the time. They did that. They did a little bit of bracketing between the cornerback and the safety, on Sammy Watkins, who's obviously been playing well this year. And there were some timing issues, which we saw in the first half against the Chiefs, or when the Chiefs played the Patriots, we saw there were some timing issues between Patrick Mahomes and Mecole Hardman, where you want to hit those intermediate passes. I even asked Andy Reid about it today. But if you get bumped, or if there's a little bit of timing, or if you're just a physical defense, which is what the Lions did, obviously they were looking to punch the ball out, which forced some turnovers, that can mess up some of the timing, where the Chiefs are just so speed heavy on offense that if the timing's right, they're, for the majority of the time, they're going to win on those snaps. So there's a lot that you can take away from it. I'm not sure how replicable it is for other defenses, but it was clear that Patricia saw what the Patriots did and said, let's try to do it to the best of our abilities. And it worked for about half the game before the Chiefs sort of made the decision to really move the football and find out plays that worked against that sort of defense.
Yeah, and the interesting part is, too, with all that, is the fact that, okay, you might have a great defensive scheme. Your problem is, like you said, you just might not have the people to be able to pull it off.
Right. I'm not sure. The Raiders tried to do it 2 weeks ago when they just played a lot of man coverage with press. Now, the difference there was that they were using a single high safety, which really didn't work because if the wide receiver beat the press coverage like Mecole Hardman did, like DeMarcus Robinson did, that usually meant that the team was beating the Chiefs with long touchdown passes, which we obviously saw in that historic second quarter. The difference that at least the Lions had were they had two really good safeties in the back end, and they played mostly two safeties back to eliminate some of those deep passes. So it took Mahomes and it took, I think, Andy Reid about a quarter and a half to realize we're not going to get a 65-yard touchdown pass. We're not going to get a touchdown pass that's over 50 yards. We're going to have to more methodically go down the field, execute on third down, move the chains, and then when we get closer to the end zone, we can use our running backs like, Darrell Williams and LeSean McCoy to get in the end zone. And so that was what's so impressive about that last-minute drive where Patrick Mahomes has the arm to go down the field, but he also knows, too, that the Lions, because of that, are not going to give him the deep shot. So it's a lot of dink and dunking. It's a lot of scrambling around the pocket, and it's targeting different guys based on who has the one-on-one matchup to make the Chiefs successful moving the ball down the field. So for a guy in the third year of his career to not sort of rely solely on his arm when you've got to have a touchdown in the last minute, I thought was really impressive. It really goes to sort of the notion that the Chiefs are going to be better this year when they face maybe the Patriots in the AFC Championship game because they have these sort of experiences to go back on from a game like against the Lions that they can use maybe hopefully if they do see the Patriots coming in January.
We're talking with Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Get The Athletic, folks. It's the best, and they are the best. And I know, Nate, you guys and everybody on your staff breaks down virtually everything. I'm hearing a lot of conflicting things coming out of the NFL these days. One, you still have to run to win. Other people, the run doesn't matter. Okay,
right.
Is it where is this? And I know the Chiefs, it'd be great if the run didn't matter because the Chiefs stink on run defense, okay? So that would be great. Sure, let them run for 200 yards. It's not going to matter anyway. But that is not the way it is, basically. But what do you think about the run game and where it is in this man's game now?
Yeah, it's a fun discussion because I think there are good points on both sides. There's more traditionalists who think that, if you get 4 yards, run the ball on first down, hey, anything's available in the playbook on second and six or even third and six. But I do understand, and talking to my buddy Seth Kaiser from The Athletic, our film expert who covers the Chiefs with me, because the Chiefs have so many weapons, it is more advantageous for them to pass the ball the majority of the time. Even with Andy Reid's sort of complex screen passes, those are an extension of runs where you get the offensive lineman in space that can go out there and maybe block a linebacker or a defensive back, and you can create space for the running back even with a short pass. Andy Reid has done this enough where he's got so much creativity that he can still get short yardage but just not handing the ball off in that traditional, hey, just step, you know, come back from the center snap and, you know, turn your back and hand the ball over. What the Chiefs have sort of shown is that as much as opponents like to run the ball against them to sort of limit time on possession, to sort of limit the amount of chances Patrick Mahomes has, the Chiefs still have the ability to quick strike with one or two plays or a series of sort of highlights that can get them down the field. You need to be able to pass the football, I think, in the NFL now. The rules, you know, are obviously advantageous for passing offenses. We all have this sort of debate about the pass interference rule that sort of, I think, more or less gives the offense the advantage, because there's going to be more flags or more plays get overturned for defensive pass interference than sort of offensive pass interference. And I just think, too, as much as you can run the football, it's harder to do that on a consistent level for 60 minutes than it is to sort of find a one-on-one matchup and then take advantage of that in the passing game. So all these things lead one to believe that passing is sort of better, but I think the Chiefs are going to see all year from a run defense standpoint that teams are going to try to run the ball on them a ton. What really matters for them is, can you stop those teams once you get into the red zone? Because it's fine to give up a 15 or a 20-yard gain in the middle of the field, as much as you wouldn't like to do that. But what the Chiefs at least showed us in those two drives in the third quarter is, once you get in the red zone, can you either stop the team or force a fumble that can sort of flip the tide in favor of the Chiefs' offense? And so I think those things come into play when really do you decide if running the ball is better versus just having Patrick Mahomes drop back 45 times? Because honestly, you could do that, and I don't think anybody would complain.
No, I think they complain. Your problem is, would they be able to keep him upright for 45 plays a game? That would be the next issue.
Right.
That is the issue. And, you know, they're doing pretty well. They're scoring. They're doing a thing. He's taking some hits. Nothing serious, but you don't want him to get that one hit that's going to put him down. That's for sure. We're talking with Nate Taylor from The Athletic. And, Nate, the other thing, you know, the Patrick Mahomes scramble was terrific, the one for the first down, which was critical for the Chiefs on that final drive. A little before that, the little fun play between, you know, Travis Kelce and I think that's LeSean McCoy. That was pretty close to being a disaster, because that was extremely close. They almost knocked that ball out of the air. But I think maybe one of the biggest plays, of course you needed all those, but the biggest play was Brian Pringle making that catch and turning around and taking that hit and hanging on to the football. I think everybody has said they have no idea how he maintained control.
Right, and Patrick Mahomes sort of praised Byron today when we were talking with him before today's practice. And if you watch that play, and I've written about it in The Athletic, Byron Pringle gets hit three times. Like, three different Lions do a really good job of trying to dislodge the football from him with some real vicious hits that were legal, like no helmet-to-helmet contact. Like, that's just good, hard playing football. And what is even more impressive in that play, and I wrote about this on Sunday, but it's the idea that on the previous play, Patrick Mahomes tried to hit Sammy Watkins on a corner route. And because you're in a two-minute drill, because you can't really take a timeout, you can't really huddle, you just got to run the play and get up and get in line and get ready for the next snap. After that incompletion, Sammy Watkins, like, took his hand up and was like, look, guys, I'm gassed. Like, I'm exhausted. Can I just get one snap to take a breather? And Andy Reid says, fine. And the guy who replaces him is Byron Pringle, who before that play had one career reception in his entire NFL career. So it's a pretty important second catch of his career. He ran a nice little shallow crossing route where he beat his man on the initial release. And Patrick Mahomes has sort of mentioned this before, but I think last week really proved it, where he says, if you're open, I will throw you the football. It doesn't matter if you're Byron Pringle and you're basically playing your rookie season in the NFL because you had a season-long injury last year, or if you're Tyreek Hill, the NFL's fastest man who scored over 14 touchdowns last season with Travis Kelce or Sammy Watkins or DeMarcus Robinson. Like, the list goes on. He will use whoever's available. So it speaks really well for Byron Pringle in that moment to sort of help Sammy Watkins, who was gassed at that time of the game, to catch the pass for Patrick Mahomes, and then to really be accountable for his teammates who fumbled four times during the game to not fumble when he took some of the hardest hits anyone took in that game on Sunday, and to get the team in position to sort of hand the ball off, to not only take time off of the Lions' timeout situation, but to take more time off that they had less chance of scoring when the Chiefs ultimately got the game-winning touchdown with, like, I think 20 seconds left.
Yeah, right. Okay, we're talking to Nate Taylor with The Athletic. And Nate, the other thing that I saw in that game that I really can't remember seeing, I've seen people strip guys of the football when they're trying to – I have never seen a team actually use their fist the way they used to punch those footballs out. Have you ever seen anybody else use that? Did Matt Patricia and the New England Patriots use that when Matt Patricia was with the Patriots? Or is this something you're seeing that's new? Or have you seen this a lot before? I have not.
Yeah, it's relatively new, and I don't think I've seen it to such a degree. You know, you may see, like, one guy on a defense say, like, hey, I've sort of figured this out. Or, like, if, you know, if I'm a linebacker and I get, you know, engaged with the running back enough times, I may want to use my fist to punch the ball out if I get the right opportunity as I'm tackling him. I don't think I've ever seen a collection of Detroit Lions or a collection of players all kind of take that coaching the week prior and then use it in the game. And one of the more impressive ones was when Sammy Watkins caught a pass, and it was kind of low because Patrick was sort of like scrambling out of the pocket. Sammy catches the ball, ensures he catches it, and goes down to the ground. But because these are NFL rules, he knows, oh, I can get up and like maybe get a couple extra yards. I can't remember who the defensive back was for the Lions, but he literally watched Sammy Watkins catch the ball and waited for him to get up so that he could use his right fist to punch the ball out. I had never seen that before, where a defender is waiting for you to get back up because he knows you're going to try to get, you know, a few yards after the catch, and I can use that to my advantage and punch the ball out. They did that, obviously, to Mecole Hardman on the return to start the second half, the kickoff return. And so I don't know if I've seen a defense sort of as a collection use that sort of tactic, but it must have been clearly something that Matt Patricia and his staff, had saw in the previous three games with the Chiefs, where it was like, hey, they're a really good team. Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw interceptions to begin with, so that's even harder to sort of create a turnover. So maybe our best chance is with his skill position players, like, hey, if they're a little loosey-goosey with the ball, we see LeSean McCoy running around with the ball one-handed. Like, if you get an opportunity, maybe punch it out. Maybe we can create a turnover in our advantage. And they got three of them, and that is really impressive for a defense who had not really shown such a thing to the Chiefs before.
I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for that and see if everybody else uses it or if just every team in the NFL starts doing it. Like, you know how they, you know, it's a copycat league. All of a sudden they're going to go, hey, you know what? I think we can use that as well. We'll be able to punch that ball out because, like you said, Patrick Mahomes does not turn the ball over. So that's one way to get some turnovers. Okay, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, talk to us a little bit about the Colts. Tell me what you think is going to be coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so the Colts are a fascinating team, and T.Y. Hilton is their best player, I think, on offense. He's even better than Jacoby Brissett. He's their best deep threat. He did not practice today. He didn't play in Sunday's game against the Oakland Raiders, and it was vastly noticeable. Darius Leonard had a concussion. He did not play against the Raiders last week. He is an all-pro rookie last year, and he's a very good player on defense as their linebacker. He did practice today. So I think we have a greater chance of seeing Darius Leonard before we see T.Y. Hilton on Sunday night. And for the Lions to be a good team in man-to-man coverage, I don't think that's the case for the Indianapolis Colts. Like, they are more zone-based. Right. They're more Tampa 2. And as we saw in the playoff game, Patrick Mahomes really picked them apart with a guy in particular like Travis Kelce in the middle of the field. I don't think really anything's going to change from what we saw in January to what we'll see Sunday night. I think it's a more comfortable win for the Chiefs. And I do think, too, Andy Reid will sort of get the message to his offense like, hey, we need to score some points in the third quarter, we hadn't done that in the last three games. I think they'll take that to heart. I think they'll get out to a fast start in prime time. I just don't see the Colts having enough firepower or enough creativity on defense to really give the Chiefs much of a test.
All right, Nate Taylor. You know, I'm old, Nate, you know, but I will say this. The Chiefs will be playing at home on a Sunday night football game, and Arrowhead will be lit.
That's right. That's right.
It will be lit.
You nailed it. You said it with confidence, and I appreciate that. And it should be lit. I mean, the team's undefeated, and the Colts are good, but like they're okay. They're not the same team they were last year. So I think you're right, and I'm pretty sure our fans will love your inclusion into the vocabulary of the young folks.
Thank you very much, and tell your son and your wife. Thanks for letting me borrow you for a few minutes tonight. I really appreciate it, Nate. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, of course. All good. All good, Frank. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Nate Taylor from The Athletic. He's great. Those guys are great. And he mentioned Seth Kizer, and Seth had just been on with Seren a little bit earlier in the day in that 5 to 6 o'clock hour. So they are great over at The Athletic, and they definitely subscribe. There's a lot of great information. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on Crunch Time when we come back.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. This is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Ball. It's Frank. I am at Arrowhead overlooking the stadium as they get it ready for the big Sunday night football game. It is alumni weekend. It is the Legends game, and Brian Waters, my good buddy, is going up on the Ring of Fame. Congratulations to Brian, a great guy to have in the locker room, a great leader. And, Frank, this place will be buzzing. This place will be crazy Sunday night.
It'll be lit.
It will be lit. I like the way you said that. I mean, you actually rolled off your tongue as if that was, like, in your vocabulary.
Yeah, I know. It really isn't. I was just faking it. You know me.
Yep. I do know you, and I also know that certain quarterback we have, when you talk about leadership, I thought this was very, very interesting. I found this on Twitter today, and I'm sure most of you have seen this because most of the people listening to the show are very active on social media. But I wanted to play this, and I wanted to get your reaction, Frank. Let's listen to Patrick Mahomes as they go into the last drive to win the game at Detroit.
We do not have to do anything else other than being ourselves. I truly believe that. If we just be ourselves and trust in each other, we will go down there, we can put points up, we can do what we do. Don't try to go out here and do everything for yourself. Believe in your teammate. You know what I mean? Believe in each other. And we'll get these opportunities, we'll go down, we'll find a way to win the game. Let's do it right here.
Who you are is good enough, baby. Who you are is good enough.
Osho on three. One, two, three. Osho.
I mean, that's the kind of guy you'll run through a wall for, Frank. And I think it showed on the field as those guys went out and they went down the field and he made a key play. You're playing man defense. You know, if you're playing man defense, what do? You turn your back to the quarterback because you're covering people, and he took advantage of it.
Yeah, he was just he was incredible. The scramble was big. Byron Pringle, you know, just trusting everybody. He said, trust your teammates. Just do what you do. Trust your teammates. And who's he end up throwing a big pass to is Byron Pringle, who ends up getting hit three times. Nate Taylor and I talked about got hit three times in that play. How he did not fumble the football, I have no idea. He took a beating on that play. And as many balls as he dropped on the ground and got punched out, it was amazing he did not lose that football. So, Timmy, we got a big game coming up, Sunday Night Football. The place will be an absolute zoo. What do you think?
I think the Chiefs win 28-10. I do think it'll be an entertaining game. I'm going to go. I think they're going to score more than that. Let's go 35-21. So, hey, you know, one of the things, Frank, to talk a little bit about what you said, you know, Pringles don't crack or crumble. So, you know, that's probably why he didn't fumble the ball, right?
You're so bad. You ever drop one of those cans on the sidewalk, Tim? Every one of those things is broken.
No,
okay, don't tell me
crumble.
That stuff, okay? It doesn't take a hit from a linebacker or a defensive back to screw up that Pringles can, I'll tell you that much. Okay, yeah, I'm up it. I think it's going to be 40-13. I think they're going to just I think it's just going to be incredible. Colts aren't going to be able to relay their plays in. I think defense is going to play well, and I think it's going to be 40-13 Chiefs. So I think Sunday night's going to be a lot of fun, Tim. Thanks a lot for coming back and joining us through this rainstorm we got rolling through here right now, and be safe on your way home.
All right, you guys are listening to CBD,
right?
American Shopman's Crunch Time.
Follow the Chiefs right here on your home for the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. Sports Radio 810 WHB.